Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday, November 13th, and it is time for this week's Whiskey Bit Barbecue in the Pit. Appreciate everybody joining us tonight. We have a great show lined up for you. Before we get into that, I want to thank last week's guest. We had in Rob Marion, which we will have again tonight. He came in, gave us an update on Operation Barbecue Relief up there in the Northeast. And actually, tonight's update will be talking about how they're wrapping up operations. And some of you guys that maybe didn't get the email from Operation Barbecue Relief talking about why and how they pull out of areas. Because once kind of the community starts getting its feet back, they want those dollars to go back into the community. So it becomes self-sufficient and starts getting some money pumping through the local economy. So Rob's going to talk to us about how OBR kind of handles those methods of withdrawing services to areas like that, and so we're going to talk about that. We'll get an update on him. Just staggering numbers. I think easily by now they're over 50,000 meals that they served. It's truly great. All those people that are part of that. I mean, you got to take your hats off to them. It's amazing. So Rob will lead us off tonight. Rob Marion, Two Worthless Nuts, giving us the Operation Barbecue Relief, Hurricane Sandy / Nor'easter / horrible stuff that's happened to the Northeast folks. Last week we also had Robbie Royal come in, Rescue Smokers. Always a treat to have Robbie in the pit. Great guy. You know, they're coming off of a Reserve Grand Championship at the Big Pig Jig. So we got to talk about that. We got to talk all kinds of barbecue stuff. Robbie Royal, wealth and knowledge, damn fine guy. Then we had a known barbecue come in. We had the whole shooting match, man. We had Civil War Steve, Jason, Dorsey, Lee, Coach Lee, leader, had him in there. And, I mean, if you guys missed that, you got to go back and listen last week. I mean, Dorsey was talking about doing opiates with Willie Nelson. JW was laying down pork tips. Coach Lee was keeping them all in line. And Civil War Steve was talking about what it's like to drive 6,000 miles across a couple of weeks. So, great interview with those guys. We went long, so obviously we got cut off right at 9 o'clock, and then I bet Jason and Dorsey and I probably talked another 20 minutes. We had a good time, and that's on the archive, so if you go back and listen to the archive, you can catch the last 20 minutes. And that's the case with anything, guys, you know, because you know me, we get into conversation. Yeah, they can cut us off live all they want to, but we're going to keep going and getting it recorded, and then if folks want to go back and listen to the last 15, 20 minutes, on iTunes or on Blog Talk Radio, they can do that, but we're not going to wrap it up just for the sake of wrapping it up. Once again, last week, because of the great guests, we had strong listener numbers. We once again finished number 2 in the food category, 204 shows. total in the food category on Blog Talk Radio, only losing once again to the Jazzy Vegetarian. I'll tell you what, I think barbecue folks are loyal, but she must have some really, really loyal folks. So anyway, that catches up, us up on last week. Tonight, we have four segments, which I know you're probably saying, damn, Chad, you're always so long-winded. How are we going to get through four segments? I really don't know, but we're going to try. We got Rob Marion, Two Worthless Nuts, like I said earlier, coming in for the update. We've got Michael McDearman, American Grillmaster Experience, coming in to talk about his just crazy 2012. That guy, he's somewhere every weekend, or at least about 45 or 46 of them every year. So we're going to talk to Michael about, you know, what his 2012 was like. He's got a special announcement for us, and I personally am going to talk to him a little bit about his Tennessee Volunteer football team. We're going to find out if there's a coaching change going on there, maybe just a full front office overhaul, where Michael thinks the state of University of Tennessee Volunteer football is, and how do we get it? How do they get that ship righted? Third segment is going to be Stacey Haynes and Ronnie Cates, two of my favorite promoters, Smoke on the Water Productions. Love those guys. They had a great event in Laughlin. We'll go through the results of that and then talk to Stacey and Ronnie. All the reports I'm getting back are great venue, very welcoming. Now we'll talk through that a little bit because Ronnie and Stacey, I mean they have done this for a long time, and they know when a venue is really on board with us and when somebody's just kind of pulling our leg. And I think from what we saw and what I've heard from this weekend, it sounded like a great event, and already making plans for next year. So anytime you have Ronnie Cates on, it's a good time. Stacey's always making things happen, so it'll be good to have them on and catch up with them. It's been a while. And then we've got Adam Norman, a new one to the pit. Adam is my cousin and kind of partners on this Southern Bread Smokers deal. So Adam is the guy that's got all the experience on the fabrication side, the metal business, all that kind of stuff. So we're going to have Adam on tonight to talk about that. What kind of led him to have, what kind of led Southern Bread Smokers to get started. We're going to talk about the three sizes of smokers that we're going to have. And then actually we're going to talk about the introductory price point on the back porch smoker, which I think, guys, when you look at the features list, is going to be pretty damn impressive. What price we're going to come in at on that. So that will be the fourth and final segment. So little eight-team contest this weekend up there in Missouri called the Kingsford Invitational. Not going to be bitter. A lot of barbecue media folks were invited up there to take in the sights. And I guess I may just have to quit this radio show and open up a blog to get anybody to invite you to come and watch it. It seemed like a lot of bloggers. The only person kind of from the radio side that got invited was Greg Rempe, and that's definitely well-deserved. I mean, Greg's been around barbecue radio for 5 or 6 years and kind of led this whole thing and got it all started, so I could definitely agree with him getting the nod to go there. But some of the blogger community makes a lot of sense. Meathead Goldwyn, Nibble Me This, Robin Lindars, Clint Cantwell. Those are ones that kind of make sense. Those are guys that great barbecue blogs, a lot of followers. Some of the others, maybe not so much. But anyway, maybe if I kiss Kingsford ads enough this year and retweet them enough and this and that, maybe get the invite to show up next year and watch and spectate. But it seemed like it was really, really cool. If you want to hear more about it, like I said, Greg Rempe got invited, went. He's having a little roundtable to start the first hour of his show over on the OutdoorCookingChannel.com. So I know I'll be over there. Make sure you go over there and tune in and check it out. And Greg and those guys will give us kind of a play-by-play of what went down this weekend. But anyway, Grand Champion, $50,000 check. Not a $50,000 purse, nothing like that. One $50,000 check, and it got handed to Melissa and Pete Cookston, Yazoo's Delta Q. Pretty damn awesome. They won pork, ribs, and brisket, and the one bite challenge. So I think they actually walked away with like $55,000. The other category winner was Justin McGlon from Lucky's Q, which pretty interesting enough. I was reading about him today And guys, a competition barbecue cook, and actually allergic to pork. My wife Nicole is allergic to pork. Can't eat it, which is kind of funny to be married to a barbecue guy and not be able to eat pork. But Justin actually is a barbecue cook and is allergic to pork. Kind of relies on his wife to taste it and all that good stuff and give him the heads up or the thumbs up or thumbs down. So that is that's pretty cool. So anyway, that's the Kingsford Invitational. They were filming it. It looks like it's going to be maybe a barbecue pitmasters episode. I saw where it was High Noon Productions that did it. In conjunction with Discovery, with Destination America being Discovery the Ocho, I would say it's probably going to find itself going somewhere into the into that area of Barbecue Pitmasters, maybe from the Kingsford Invitational. So be interesting to see. Looks like there was a lot going on there, and a pretty cool event, and pretty badass for Kingsford to put up $50,000, and you have a 1-in-8 chance at it. And congratulations again to Melissa and Pete Cookston. Great job over there at Yazoo's Delta Q. That being said, a couple more things before we get into Rob Marion. Let's talk real quickly about the Florida Barbecue Association contest. Oh, hold on. Inquiring minds want to know. Inside tip is that this will not be a Barbecue Pitmasters event at all. The Kingsford Invitational. Good friend told me that. Not going to release a source. But it won't be affiliated with Barbecue Pitmasters. Looks like it'll be its own kind of standalone show, which it'd be pretty cool to check out and see. So keep an eye out for that. It's just going to be kind of a Kingsford one-off event. So that'll be interesting to see that. So just keep an eye out on that. And obviously when we get information about air dates, we will share that with you. So real quick, Florida Barbecue Association had a contest this weekend in Melbourne. Smaller first-year contest, 23 teams winning it. Rob Bagby, Swamp Boys, you got to keep an eye on him. Rub's on fire right now. He's clicking on all cylinders. Going into Plant City this weekend, which is about a 70-team field from all over the country and Canada, Diva. Watch him, though. He's an odds-on favorite to win this thing. He's been cooking really, really well. Another guy that's been cooking well is Dana Hillis, Big Papa's Country Kitchen, taking reserve about 4.5 points off your top five, third place. Jim Elser, Sweet Smoke Q, reserve, ran the contest before that. Jimmy Brode, which we'll talk about in a second, Everglades Seasoning Barbecue Team, fourth. And then Terry McKay, Getter Smoked, finishing out fifth. So pretty interesting that Dana and Terry hauled butt back from Vegas to Florida. And the first thing they wanted to do when they got back was cook a barbecue contest. So that's your top five there. Category wins, you got Big Papa's Country Kitchen winning chicken. You got Blitzkrieg Barbecue, Tommy Harden and the crew winning ribs. Pork, Florida Skin and Bones, and Swinos with a tie for first place. So somehow Swinos got their picture on the FBA website. I don't know how. Actually, it's Lisa and Swinos from Skin and Bones, so that's cool. And then Brisket, Rob Bagby, 196.9. To win that category there. So congratulations, Rob. Cooking great, man. Worried about going against you this weekend, but I guess it's what we have to do. With that being said, staying on the FBA tip for just a second, happy to announce that we finally locked down the date for the Kids Pack Polk Project Barbecue Throwdown here in Lakeland. We're obviously, we've talked about it a couple weeks ago on the show, but kind of something that Jared Hatcher, my teammate's heading up, helping him out as much as possible. Myself, we've got Dana, that was the Bartow contest organizer, kind of being our official organizer, heading everything up, making everything happen. And the date of that contest is now going to be April 12th and 13th. It's going to be here at over in South Lakeland at the church over here. Got plenty of space. We think we could hold 70, 80 teams. So plenty of space, working out the payouts and locking down the sponsors right now. We'll have more word on that here, I would say, in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So that's going really well, but I just want to get the dates out there. April 12th and 13th, Kids Pack Polk Project Barbecue Throwdown. It's on the board. You can go over to flbbq.org and check that out. We'll be getting the Facebook page and all that stuff up for it very, very soon. and sharing as much information with you as we can, and we'll continue, obviously, to share information about it right here. So with that being said, speaking of barbecue, going back for a second, I want to talk about something cool we got to do this weekend, and I got to give thanks to our buddy Jimmy Brode for passing it on to us. Jimmy was there in Melbourne. He was itching to cook. He's been working with Chris over at Everglades Seasoning, and they've got a new all-purpose barbecue rub that they are really close to finalizing, and Jimmy wanted to take it out and cook with it. Cooked all four categories on it, and then took fourth place there. So he's real happy with the rub. Hoping to have that done, it looks like, talking to Jimmy, probably by middle of January. Should have it all lined up for Lakeland Pig Festival. They'll be vending it out there, sharing it with folks, letting people try it, sample it. So that's interesting, exciting that Everglades will now have a all-purpose barbecue rub that they've designed along with Jimmy Brode. So very cool. But because Jimmy was in Melbourne cooking at that contest, he had a friend call and say, hey, lady's named Sue. She owns a Western wear store called Way Out West here between Lakeland and Orlando. And they're actually designing a line of boots with Colt Ford. And Colt Ford was playing the Rib Fest over in St. Pete on Sunday. And he was coming over towards Orlando on Saturday to hang out over at Way Out West and, you know, just catch up on some things, take a look at some things and this and that, and got the call to cook barbecue for him. So it was really, really cool. What a great group of people, not only at Way Out West, but Colt Ford and his band. Such nice folks. We cooked some brisket, some ribs, some moink balls, did a little green bean dish, some baked beans with pulled pork. It was a pleasure. Kind of real intimate setting, him and the band, really down-to-earth folks. Just a nice guy to meet, very humble. So, Jimmy, thanks again for giving us that opportunity, and we had a blast with it. So, real quick, let's see if we got Rob here posted up in the studio. We do. So, with that being said, let's go over here to Rob Marion. What's up, bro?
Hey, man. Sitting here freezing the butt off.
So it's been a little chilly up there on you, huh?
It's getting there. You know, New Jersey in the fall / winter time is starting to get a little bit chilly, and enjoying my time, definitely.
Hey, no problem, man. So last week we talked, Rob, and obviously you guys were going strong. You know, serving folks, taking care of people. What's kind of happened in the last week? What have you guys seen if things started to get a little, I mean, it's going to take a while for things to get back to complete normalcy, but have things started to improve and we're seeing infrastructure come back and those kind of things?
Yeah, the kids went back to school this Monday here in the area in Brick. So people started going back to work, getting back to their jobs with power being restored. So, it's definitely been a little bit less. The need has still been there. I mean, every day, you know, we sit there and we cook and then go inside and just kind of sit there and talk to people, you know. I mean, a counselor by nature and by trade. So, you know, I want that face-to-face time with the people that are receiving the services. So, going in and talk to them, and, I mean, it's every day, you know, I sit there and try to come out with at least one or two trinkets that are gifts of the day. And, you know, like yesterday I posted the picture from the little girl.
Oh, it's adorable.
And she's a trip. You know, you sit there and say, man, you know, barbecue.
Yeah.
and you know, you affect people like that. It's hard.
No, it's super, super cool, man. You sit there and you're like, you know, it's something that we take for granted, you know, every day. You know, we can go fire up a pit and, you know, cook a meal, cook meals. But, you know, when it's an impact like that, it's pretty damn cool. One of the questions I had for you, you were talking about, you know, it kind of being the counselor in you. Because we have similar ones, with your physique, Rob, do you think it's more welcoming teddy bearish as a therapist, or do you find it takes people maybe a little bit longer because, you know, you're big, you're burly. You know, what have you, I'm sure, I mean, you've done this for a while now. I'm sure you've noticed some type of pattern.
I usually let people know, you know, hey, if you want Kumbaya, you know, that I may not be the person to use, but in this setting, just a big teddy bear.
There you go. Excellent, man. So what is the count out, Rob? How many meals have you guys put out there?
I believe looking at the count, we passed over 100,000 meals in the 11 days or so that we've been around. I guess I got on the ground here the Wednesday 2 weeks ago and started serving. I think it was Thursday or Friday. I don't remember. The days started running together. It's just been in between here, you know, we've been putting out 3,000 to 5,000. Phil with Barbecue Brethren, he was up in Long Island and got to experience, you know, firsthand, you know, what it is with the giving. You know, I think that they were serving about 5,000 a day up there. You know, and even Phil sat there and made a comment, you know, you read it and, you know, you kind of see and, oh, okay, you know, it sounds really special. But, you know, he said that he got to experience firsthand people coming out of their houses crying because they hadn't had food.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. Now, do we know, speaking of Phil, I know Phil and Sledneck are both up there in that same area. Anybody talk to Steve? How did he fare this whole thing?
I ain't had time to talk to Steve. We'll send texts back and forth, but it's usually just kind of humorous and the ability to kind of lift up.
Yeah. Yeah, because I know him and Phil are kind of both in that same area, and I know when the storm was coming in, it didn't look too well, and shame on me not being a good friend. I really hadn't reached out to him, but I kind of felt like, you know, he probably had so much stuff going on, I didn't want to be just another person bothering him, so I just actually wrote that down, call Steve tomorrow. Because, I mean, I have been thinking about him, but once again, if he's going through a whole mess up there, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to bother him when he's trying to handle all that for him and his family.
Well, I know that he had posted a few pictures of what the water was doing to where he was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's one of those that, you know, I now know that impact. Just checking on somebody and say, hey, you know, how you doing? And, you know, that goes a long way. And it's been vice versa, you know. I mean, it's amazing that, you know, these people have lost houses. And they're coming out to us, and we've been doing, you know, 15, 16, 17-hour days, and they're worried about us. You know,
yeah,
how
oh,
you
yeah.
Doing? And it's like, you know, believe me, I get to return to a normal life sometime soon. And, you know, these people are still worried about us, and it really has been a grateful experience.
That is that's absolutely awesome. And you know, one of the things that you brought up there, and I'm just going through it in my head, Rob, is as most of us barbecue cooks have done. Well, first off, talk to me a little bit about the meals. You know, everybody talks about a hot meal you guys are providing, but what? And I know it probably fluctuates with donations and this and that, but what's the average meal that OBR serves somebody?
Usually a protein, be it brisket, pulled pork, chicken, and then beans, corn, potatoes. Where we've been set up here, you know, they've been kind of running sides. So, you know, we've been able to concentrate on the big proteins. Usually every night we load up the prides that have been around. So we'd load up anywhere between 500 and 1,000 pounds of butts. Get those cooked, and then during the daytime, you know, you're just sitting there and just turning, be it sausage, chicken, hamburgers, brat burgers, you name it, during the daytime, the quick cooks,
mm-hmm.
and just trying to get out the volumes.
Well, and you mentioned brat burgers. Johnsonville was you guys, I believe. I believe they brought a good chunk of product in there, didn't they?
Yeah, the pork producers were here for 3 days, 2 days actually, cooking, but we're here and being able to sit, they did pork tenderloin, and then they had the Johnsonville brat burgers, the cheddar brats, and Sweet Italians. Casey Masterpiece came in, and they were doing pork sliders. They helped us cook hamburgers, hot dogs, serve Casey Masterpiece beans. And I mean, you know, when they pull out, they donated everything to the food pantry that we had going on here. And, I mean, it was amazing because, you know, everybody's wanting to stay, but, you know, got to get back to their normal times and their normal lives.
Absolutely.
But the hands were very welcome.
No, that's awesome. And I'm going to try to line up Jeff and Stan next week to come on the show and talk a little bit about the behind-the-scenes stuff, the logistics. And then also I want to make sure that all these corporations that helped out get as much exposure as possible because, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, it's corporate America, this and that, but that's still people coming off their dollar and helping out. And one of the things I wanted to bring up is, Rob, I mean, you know, let's even say it's the most basic catering menu ever. 100,000 meals at $3 a plate. Now, don't get me wrong. Some of this stuff was donated, this and that, but that's $300,000 worth of food. You know, and not just food, but plates, silverware, all that stuff.
We were running about the other day. And not to slam anybody, and not to talk down to anybody, but the Red Cross was talking about the, you know, the amount of donations that they brought in and the amount of meals that they had served, and you were looking at about $2.36 a meal. OBR, the donations were coming in, going directly to protein, clamshells, tin cans of vegetables, and I think that we were looking at, if I'm not mistaken, around 6 cents a meal.
How much?
6 cents.
Wow.
So, wow. You know, I mean, and it's because everybody that came to cook was donating their time. I mean, nobody's here getting paid. No. You know, we're not sliding money from one account to another. It's just making sure that people are getting fed, and that's the gratitude right there, is just making sure that everybody's taken care of. And, I mean, after everything's done, it might go up a little bit, but it's not really going to be that much. Once we sit there and do kind of the after-action review and be able to sit down and look at what came in compared to what we were able to put out as far as meals. I know Joplin was their biggest experience as far as meals, and I think that was somewhere around 111,000 in a 10-day period. But the one thing was is that, you know, then they had hundreds of volunteers based in the Kansas and Missouri area. And, I mean, you know, we did it on a shoestring here, and it was hard, it was trying, but it was a beautiful experience. I wouldn't trade it for the world, and I'd line up to do it again.
That's awesome. And so, guys, what I'm trying to say is me and Rob have a couple more minutes, but if you go over to OperationBarbecueRelief.org, $100 at 6 cents a meal will feed 1,666 people.
Yep.
I mean, that's a ton of folks, and now a lot of credit goes to Stan and Jeff and the whole board over there at OBR for lining up these corporate, you know, these corporate relationships and those kind of things. But $100 gives OBR enough money to along with the connections to feed over 1,500 people, and that's pretty dang cool. And it's a total, you know, total tax deduction. You can go over there 100%. You know, tax deduction.
Set up as a 501c3 nonprofit.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, we're looking at tomorrow morning we're pulling out, but it's not because, you know, money's run out or anything else. It's because the community's been able to sit there and encompass the area, and they're going to be able to take it back over. Operation Barbecue Relief kind of comes in and kind of look at it as a baby with Enfamil. You know, it's like, you know, the baby can't digest food. So you got to bring Enfamil in and make sure that the baby is able to sustain until they're able to sit there and take in the natural foods. You know, and once the community is able to sit there and sustain it, you know, Operation Barbecue Relief then has to pull back and let the community take care of themselves. And that's where we're at right now in Brick. You know, we've been able to sit there and come in, and that was the initial release was we don't have food, we don't have a way to get anything in, what can you guys do? And we came in and were able to sit there and just start pumping them out.
The one thing that I noticed numerous pictures of on Facebook, was it OBR or somebody else that brought in the Anheuser-Busch water in the cans?
Well, that's one of the things that, you know, luckily Anheuser-Busch does is that they'll shut it down and sit there and say, you know, hey, wait a minute. And I've got my six pack of water because I wanted that as one of my commemoratives.
Yeah, that's just cool as hell. Yeah.
And who else has a six pack of Anheuser-Busch water? You know, and so that's going to be one of my things. We had the Barrier Islands here, and we were sitting there and taking care of folks down there. And there was a bar down the street, and I thought it was so cool that the owners went in and they grabbed a bottle of Jameson. And I kind of look at that as the commercial.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah.
He does anything to save the Jameson. And they brought that out, and they said, we don't have anything else to give, but we could take this. And so, I mean, that's my – I will not touch that Jameson.
Mm-mm.
You know, no. That's coming out as a souvenir from this. And, I mean, it's just been an amazing experience that I couldn't have experienced without the gracious hearts of the barbecue community.
That is absolutely awesome. So, Rob, kind of wrapping this up, you know, I think you summed it up, you know, as far as the experience, how cool it is to be part of something like that, how kind of, you know, and I seem to think that you work in a pretty life-changing job already, as far as, you know, what you get to do with the troops that are freshly rotating back and integrating them back in with their family and stuff like that. You know, always had a lot of respect for your occupation and thought it was, you know, pretty cool. But then you go and see something like this, and I'm sure there's similarities and there's probably some differences too, right?
Oh, very. I've never really experienced, you know, somebody coming out and, I mean, I get choked up. But, I mean, somebody to sit there and say, wow, you know, a hot meal. We take it for granted.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the heart of the barbecuers.
Yep.
Otherwise, I couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you take the time off, and I had it. But without the heart and the giving, we're not here.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I want to share pictures that, you know, we did want to share while we were here to see kind of the devastation. I mean, it's unreal. But it has been wild.
I'm sure, man. I'm sure. And brother, you know, as one voice in the barbecue community, I want to thank you and the whole team. I saw where, you know, Bandit Bob said he had been down 10 days.
I tell you what, Bandit Bob was with me from day one.
Dude.
And workhorse, God. You know, just sit there and every day it's about feeding people. And, yep. and you know, I mean, he's just plugging. We had just people coming from all over, and the best thing that I'm taking out is that I've got a OBR banner that volunteers have signed. And I mean, God, it's awesome. You know, to sit there and hear gratitude.
Yes.
And feel it. And these are, you know, people that were too proud usually to ask for help and, you know, didn't want. I had volunteers down in Neptune that they had suffered and they were flooded out, but they were there at 7 o'clock in the morning. They stayed till 10 o'clock at night, you know, making sure that the community was taken care of. And, you know, 8-year-old kids, I mean, you know, Rob, what can we do? Let's keep going. Let's keep going. And, that was the fuel, you know, you sit there and you get tired, you get cold. You get sore. I mean, we've been on concrete. We've all competed on concrete.
Oh, yeah.
After a weekend, you kind of sit there and say, wow, man, I'm old. I'm overweight. I feel like hell. But I tell you what, man, somebody comes up and gives you a sincere hug and says, wow, I've not had a hot meal in a week. I've been living on crackers and cookies. You know, thank you, everybody.
Yep.
Because it's generosity and, you know, I love that OBR was thanking everybody individually. And and there's no way to sit there and really let everybody feel and encompass what we felt. But, I mean, believe me, it's been a blessing. you went to GC, you know, you get that rush, but let an old man come up and hug you with his Vietnam and Korea hat on Veterans Day and say, wow, thank you guys for feeding me.
That's,
you know,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's one of those things words almost can't describe, just to be there and to have that feeling and feel like you're truly making a difference. It's that's huge, brother.
And I appreciate your time because, you know, you've allowed us to get the voice out. So, I mean, I appreciate that so much, brother.
Absolutely. Anytime OBR needs it, man, they got as much time as they need on these airwaves. I think it's one of the better causes all the way across. It's definitely the best barbecue cause there is. But I wish
there was a way that I could come down and, you know, whoop up on you this weekend. But, you know, especially given that, you know, your wife doesn't even want taste support. But, you know, we will find time to bust chops and, if not cook together, cook against each other here soon. And, you know. It'll be, you guys will be thought of this weekend while I'm sleeping.
Absolutely, brother. You need to get caught up on it. And be safe hauling back that big old cooker and the warming box and all that stuff that you got. Be careful heading back to Ohio because I know you're tired and running on fumes and that's still a little bit of a hike, man.
It's going to be a dream. I never thought I'd be happy to get back to Ohio.
Well, good deal. Rob, thanks so much for coming on the show tonight, my man. We will talk to you soon and have safe travels back.
All right, buddy. Thank you and thank everybody else. I appreciate it. And I know OBR as a whole, you know, we'll make sure that Stan and them guys get a hold of you guys and just let you get the breakdown of everything else. But, you know, our mission is accomplished. We've been able to feed until they're able to sustain. And it's because of the heart of the barbecue community that we can do that.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. Safe travels.
All right, brother. You too, buddy.
All right, man. Well, take care, Rob.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, guys. Rob Marion, Two Worthless Nuts, coming in and talking on behalf of Operation Barbecue Relief. You know, Rob summed up himself. You heard the emotion in his voice. Just a really, really, really good cause. Like I said, if you can, go over there, operationbbqrelief.org. And, you know, even if it's $5, I mean, I think $5 would feed like 300 people. It's 6 cents a meal. So very, very cool. And, wish those guys all the best. And now they're in it. Don't think it's over, guys, because they've obviously, you know, had to withdraw a lot of funds. So we need to get that kitty back up. Do some replenishment there and help them be ready because there's going to be something else around the corner. We'd love to say the days of natural disasters are over, but we're all realists. They're not. So if you can go over there, even if it's $25, just put it in and it makes a difference. You heard Rob say that. It definitely makes a difference. So appreciate Rob coming on and sharing that with us tonight. Real quick, I want to thank Craig Sherry, Texas Pepper Jelly, TexasPepperJelly.com. Big fan of their products. You got the pepper jelly, which is great. My favorite's the rib candies. I just got a beautiful assortment of rib candies in today. Apple cinnamon. I got the apple and cherry mix with no peppers. And then I got my personal favorite, the pineapple habanero. So love cooking with them. Really enjoy it. We're coming around to holiday season. Craig's always got some really kick-ass gift packs. Those type of things. And this is probably only used by the barbecue community, but by others. They just love it. If you got that person that's looking for a little spice in their life, head over to TexasPepperJelly.com. With that being said, pulling up a good friend, Michael McDearman, American Grillmaster Experience. Maybe pulling him up. Hold, wait for it. Show and hold. Come off hold. Come on. There we go. Michael, you there?
Yeah, I am.
How you doing, man?
I am top of the world, and I'm just sitting here, boy, after listening to OBR and all that they've got to share, I got nothing. You know, if I pass away and I'm standing in the pearly gate line up there, they can come cut anytime. You know, they are doing good work.
you know, it's amazing, and you know, it's just really cool, and to hear the emotion in Rob's voice and his conviction about it, and that's, you know, everybody that went and did that and was part of that. I mean, I'm sure they felt the same exact thing. It's just really, really cool, and like I've been trying to tell the folks, man, it ain't got to be a life changing amount of money. You know, when Rob dropped that 6 cent, you know, plate cost because of the relationships that OBR has formed. That's pretty damn impressive, my friend.
I can't see mathematically how it happens, but I'm not going to complain. I'm going to say more power and let's donate so that they can do more.
Absolutely.
Because, it definitely is going to a good cause, and no administration costs going straight out there, and the goodwill of the barbecue community, and it just shows why I still think, you know, that ad that I was growing up on, they said, you know, apple pie, Chevrolet, and baseball, you know, we need to add barbecue. We need to get a petition going, add barbecue to that fourth piece of Americana, because it really is.
Well, it is, and it's just, I mean, the folks are just good, honest folks that if they can, they're going to help you out every single daggone time, you know. Whether it be needing sugar at a contest or needing a hot meal during the middle of a disaster, barbecue folks always come together and help out their fellow man. And that's why I know you're proud to be part of it, and I'm so proud myself, because just really good folks.
You know, and that's the America we were raised to grow up in. I'm not going to get off on politics. We're done with that. The election's over, but isn't it time and proud to be an American, and we can come together and get something done?
Yeah, absolutely, and not worry about the bureaucracy or the left side or the right side. Just, you know, somebody's in need, let's help them. And seriously, guys, in life it can be that simple.
You know, and I'm back in the Southeast, Dad. I'm back in Tennessee. I can say amen and hallelujah now.
Absolutely. So you talk about being back in the Southeast. So, you know, we had you on the show earlier in the year. And, you know, you just kind of settled up on the contract and you know, got all settled in for 2012. So walk us back through this year. I want to say all that got finalized, what, January? Well, mid-January?
I wasn't dating anybody, so it was probably around Valentine's.
So, you know, obviously around, I mean, I know you were in Tampa, so around March, you know, you kind of kicked it all off, right?
Yeah, they had the event on the Sam's Club tour. They had won the first event, I believe, in Tampa, and then 2 weeks later, they had Ocala, and that was my first start
That's
down
right.
there in the Florida swing, and you know, it was great. Ocala, that was just a fantastic location to start in the horse country, and just a great piece of Florida there to get to spy in on and to sort of poke my nose around in. Then I said,
you know, one thing there, Michael, a lot of people don't know is Ocala, but besides that whole Lexington, Kentucky area, which mm-hmm. is so well known for good thoroughbreds,
mm-hmm.
Ocala is some of the best thoroughbred country in the world.
Oh, yeah, dressage horses, all kinds of different types. And, you know, if you're competing, I know at one point, my ex-wife, she went down there and flew in to view horses to purchase.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a mecca. It draws people in from all around the world.
Little Ocala right here in old Central Florida. Anyway, I'll let you get back
on. Who thunked it?
Exactly.
But,
as far as
my tour started, and I'll give a little overview for those that don't know, the American Grillmaster Experience is at grillmastertour.com. And what I did last year was travel around for two different sponsors. One was Beef It's What's for Dinner, and the other is Bull Grills, Bull Outdoor Products. Now, both of those had such a good time and enjoyed it so much that they wanted to do it again. And, of course, I enjoyed myself being their grill master and spokesperson, so I wanted to do it again. We all came together, and we had a couple other folks join the party. We had Heinz and McCormick Spices. So, you know, while we had two big wigs of their own parts of their industry, then we had two more join up. So quite a good team, and we went out there and spread the good word like a good barbecue sauce.
Absolutely. So you know, this year, did you find it? I mean, obviously it had grown a little bit when you're talking about the sponsors. Did it make you tweak your recipes a little bit? Did you find it making your hands a little more full?
You know what? They said, McDee, you're good enough to go on one grill the first year. why don't we up it to two grills? And so they had me cooking on two grills at once for the second year. If we do it a third, I'm sort of wondering whether they're going to double it to four and go exponentially or whether they're just going to add just one more. But I'll be able to handle it and then gladly jump on. With what we did was, recipe-wise, we had five different recipes that we showcased this year. We had a couple staples we brought back, that blue cheese ribeye that folks love. The judges come up asking for it, and some of the teams do too. And so we've done that one for a second straight year. I even have found that a St. Louis restaurant had taken that recipe from the first year and used it as their showpiece steak for the when I passed by there the second year. They had it on the menu.
Wow.
I know. That's one of the better compliments I've ever gotten. That was very nice of them.
Absolutely.
Then we showed a little variation, Chad.
I was going to say, out of the new recipes, which one seemed to be the home run this year?
You know, the cumin and McCormick Grill Mates Montreal Steak Seasoned Top Sirloin, I sort of did like a mock taco. So I wanted the people to think about a different beef taco night. And so we grilled that up to the same techniques I taught the two-time and reigning world champs in steak. And so you can do it at home, cooking to internal temp and all that fun stuff. Find the recipes again at grillmastertour.com. But we topped it off with an avocado salsa verde. And just taking a store-bought salsa verde, dicing up an avocado, and the citrus and the acids in that salsa verde don't allow the avocado to change color so it can store. So, you know, you can keep it for a number of days. So it's a fantastic little recipe for the families. We wanted to keep in mind economy for the budget, but also for the budget of time. So all our recipes were very quick recipes. We did a marinated flank steak. So that people could think about putting it on pasta or salads and those types of things. And that had a citrus tangy lime juice with Lee and Perrins Worcestershire marinade. Then we also had a New York strip that we cooked naked. And you know how the barbecuers perked up when I said a naked New York strip.
Yeah.
But we didn't put any salt and pepper on it. But we tried to showcase how the competition teams do it. You know, get people starting to think about our competition industry and what we're doing out there in competitions, what they're seeing on Pitmasters and other TV shows like Chopped and things, and take a base sauce like a Heinz 57, add some cumin chili powder and garlic in there, and make it your own flavor profile.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
Absolutely.
What we're doing, whether we're taking, you know, that rooftop sauce that I'm hearing may have been a good high winner at the Jack and getting some good high marks out there. Blue's Hog, which is a proven sauce out there, or even Sweet Baby Ray's or something commercial that folks are finding. So we tried to get them to think outside the box. I talked a lot about mixing it with a little peach nectar or apple juice just to make a glaze and things. But that 957 sauce, I recommended mixing it with half melted butter. And then that cumin chili powder and garlic mixed in with the Heinz 57 made a fantastic Southwest glaze. The vinegar notes in the Heinz 57 mellowed down, and their secret recipe that they've had for years were very complimented by the cumin and the chili powder. So it did well. And then we had the sesame crusted New York strip, a little Asian flavor profile from the year before. And other than that, I tell you, blue cheese ribeye, the sesame crust of New York strip, avocado salsa verde, the flank steak, and the Heinz 57 glazed New York strip as well. So there you go. There's the five recipes all wrapped up. And I did that for practically nine straight months. I had a spot week or two off, but it was essentially nine straight months out on the road.
Well, and I know you picked up a new truck to get it all started. What did when you pulled that baby in, how many miles she have on her?
We're going to roll the dial to 27,000 this year, and I attribute that to good planning on the Sam's Club stops, because I did 27 Sam's Club stops, and so I was going from point to point and wasn't having to do like the 3,800 miles I did out to the World Food Championships and back. Woo!
Yeah.
But,
well, and one of the things, well, speaking of Sam's Club there, Michael, and you know, I've ate your food. I've ate almost every recipe you've done the last 2 years. And top-notch stuff, man. I would pay $20-$25 for it as an entree at any restaurant. Really good stuff. And the thing is, I think what most people may or may not know is you walk right into Sam's Club and get whatever you need.
You got it.
Yeah, it's not like you're having a cooler of stuff shipped in like we do, looking for, you know, Wagyu briskets or Duroc pork or any. I mean, you walk right in the store, you know, pick it out just like the rest of us do out of the case, and you go turn it into really, really good food. And
well, here's the thing, I don't even pick it out of the I don't pick it out.
Oh, really?
I say, this is the mass quantity I need. I'm going to trust you. You serve me what it is, and you cut it, guys. And here's to the specs. And the beautiful thing about Sam's is they'll actually be your butcher shop. You want your fat trimmed all the way off, they'll cut it all the way off. You want a 2-inch thick steak, they'll cut it for you. You know, so I just treated them like a butcher shop, and I said, you know, how David Buska says, trust your butcher. You know, I trusted my butcher.
Yeah.
And so we would get whatever they chose. And I wasn't going through picking out flats and going, well, this is good marble and this is bad. I just said, let's do it. Let's do it like mom and pop are doing at home and pulling it out of the case. And let me try and show them how that they can get as tender and velvety and juicy a steak as at a prime steakhouse. And it's not with inserting fat or anything, nothing fancy. It's straight, slow the process down. 325,
yep.
Medium heat. Pull that, it doesn't matter whether you're on charcoal or what, 325, that ambient temperature circulating around in that convection. And that's what you need. You cook it on that for 5 to 7 minutes, flip it, cook the second side to an internal temp of 140. It'll rise up to 145 while you let it rest for 5 minutes. Just that simple, and that's what you can do at home. And you'll get caramelized grill marks. It doesn't char or burn. What it does is caramelize the sugars and the proteins and gives you a depth of flavor there. And actually, I go straight from the fridge to the grill, which will actually render out that fat and leave the fat-providing flavor inside the meat. So it's a great way to approach cooking a steak. Some people describe it as the reverse sear without the sear.
You know, and I got to say, old Blake Moody tried to pair me and you against each other last week, as you know. But a couple things where, you know, they're very similar is, one, you mentioned the number, 325.
Yep.
I would say when I'm reverse searing on my Weber Rancher kettle, I'm probably, where I bank my steaks at, I'm probably 2, 2 1/4, 250.
Yep.
And I'm just catching up to you with that minute directly over the flame on each side. The other difference in how you do steaks and how I do steaks is, you said you bring it to the fridge, season it, and put it on. I'm more of a guy that, and I think it's probably the hardcore barbecuer in me, I believe it's got to sweat, you know. But I think I'm going to try it your way, especially at the 325, I think in my Rancher kettle, I'll still be indirect, but I'll just be a little closer to my fire. But I'm definitely willing to try it out because you're always looking for that juicy flavor of meat. And what we both have with both of our methods, regardless, is, and I've always told people the warning sign is that gray. When you cut into a steak and you've got gray all the way around the edge, that's not good workmanship.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody that's taken and destroyed the molecular structure of the first 16th to 8th of an inch of that food.
Amen.
And that's why,
you know,
they're taking
the thing too, though, Chad. You know, when we have a bit more experience on the grilling and smoking side, I'm taking this to the masses. So what I'm trying to showcase is how they can increase and make the family reunions at their place. They can become the grill master in their own backyard with steaks, which is really, what do you do when you celebrate? You go have a steak. And so that they can have a higher quality of life, do it on a less costly budget, you know, at a more economical budget, and then come in and get more pleasure out of it. So the folks that have been sitting there and pouring the lighter fluid on the coals and, you know, creating the comic infernos that those commercials are made out of. But, you know, those are the folks I'm preaching to and trying to get across to. And giving them the Confident Cooking Guide with beef, too, so that they can look at how to use the McCormick Hinds. And then also realize that if you buy a good grill, you only have to buy a bull once.
And
you
know,
you don't have to go back every 3 or 4 years. And that was really the key focus, is getting across to the Joe consumer.
And you know, you bring up the bull products, and we've talked about them in the past. We talked about them before, and you know, I'm a pretty staunch you know, charcoal wood type of guy, but I've had a chance to you know, walk around the ones that you've had out there, you know, talk to you kind of in depth about the product. And if I was just, you know, Joe guy that should, like you said, just looking to be the king of the backyard and this and that, it's a damn nice gas grill. It's well built. It's American made. You know, and like you said, if you look at it, yeah, you're going to have to do some replacement part things over 5-7 years into it. But you look at the shell of that thing, and
or else you're going to get a 20-year warranty on the burners.
Mm-hmm.
Cast iron and cast stainless steel on most of their models. And even though we're talking about gas, and it's easy for me to demo on gas, that's part of the reason I'm using it, because they do have charcoal models. And it elevates and lowers the actual tray that the coals are on. So it's sort of a reverse Santa Maria-style grill in that charcoal version called the Bison. It's a fantastic little unit. And it comes with a dual-lined hood and stainless steel, 304 stainless steel, solid stuff. You know, and with Bull, they've really done a lot to support competition barbecue. They were a headline sponsor at the ACM Awards out in Vegas earlier this year. They had World Food Championships again. And then going around and at the competition level, sending me around. And you know, that really shows, I think, their dedication to the full body of the industry. And
right,
They're really a great company.
And that's what and that's what we need. We need folks that give back and are part of what we do. And let's just face it, Michael, it's not cheap to put you on the road for 9 months, 27,000 miles.
It gets more expensive every day. But
exactly. and for Bill and those folks to pony up the money and do it, it's pretty kick ass. So.
It is. It really is. And it's a fantastic team. And you surround yourself with good people and good companies and good things happen. Look at OBR and the great things that they're getting accomplished just because they are surrounding themselves with great companies that care. And it's wonderful in today's society, and I'm not going to get on the soapbox, but it's wonderful to find those people. And, again, it's all seeming to be around barbecue.
Absolutely. Now, I totally agree with you.
You know, a little bit that the tour entailed, I went not shortly or not too long after Ocala, I went past Panama City Beach, and one of the guys on the Sam's tour, he's a logistics guy, and Sean was his name, and he was like, you know, he was almost like one of these college kids, could we save some money and you know, at Panama City, could we find a place on the beach? And I said, all right, we'll do this, and there's the bed, and we'll have a balcony. Find a balcony room that views the ocean, and I can deal with it.
Hey,
it was springtime, Chad, and guess what? I got to hear Dead Mouse or whatever that DJ is till 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
He picked out the Holiday Inn, which is like Central or Grand Central Station for spring breakers.
Yeah,
my 41-year-old tale. Learned real quick, keep the rooms to yourself and don't worry about all that.
Absolutely.
I had a good time down there, but I remembered what my spring breaks were like, but I quickly remembered I can't do that anymore.
Hey, we're now at that age, Michael, where we're more of a nice meal, a fine scotch, and a cigar kind of guys.
Teasing me, Chad. Quit teasing me.
We're not trying to air it out till 3 or 4 in the morning at the club inside the Holiday Inn, spring break style, seeing if we can hop up on the fourth place wet t-shirt contest chick. Those days are long gone.
Speak for yourself, Chad. Speak for yourself.
Oh man. So
then I went on to Baton Rouge and got to see you know, teams travel a long distance for the Sam's tour. You know, Darren from Iowa Smoky D's driving down all the way from Iowa to Baton Rouge to compete. You know, and the uniqueness of that tournament is still, it's got a unique flair, a lot of first-time teams this year, too. And I know they created a more consistent logistics side, like the electrical and things, so that they actually purchased the boxes and all that kind of thing to make it more consistent and not have the variations week to week. So it was a good all-around event, and to go around and see, and I think this personally on the competition circuit, no matter what you think of the KCBS ruling on site, Big T's, you know, Newsom out of Iowa, coming in there and getting his meat. He took it off site and he got it confiscated, not disqualified, but confiscated, which is a gray area within that rule.
Yep.
It's up to the organizer. And they reinspect. He went into Sam's and got new meat, got it reinspected. But before he went into Sam's, he cranked that Jambo up to about 375. He cooked all four categories. It's starting at 9:30 in the freaking morning. And KCBS starts at noon with turn-ins. He could turn in all four categories, met the deadlines, got fourth.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Yep.
That's a cook.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And has had a you know, you look at Pigskin. I mean, Iowa, you know, and as a Floridian, I'm gonna go ahead and say it. Iowa barbecue has kicked everybody's ass this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they took 7 out of 10 at the Nationals at Sam's Club. Pigskin goes and wins the Jack. You know, then finishes 10th at the World Food Championship. You talk about back to back weekends. Holy crap! You know, I mean. Dude, that's a tough crew to beat, and you can name the most popular ones, you know, Mrs. T's, Tippy, and Pigskin, but there's another 5 to 8 cooks in Iowa that you just don't want to run up against every weekend. True Bud,
no,
you know, those guys, they're nasty.
Boyd, I got to know Boyd off of True Bud this year, and well, the whole team really, and they're just fantastic folks. And we were sitting talking at the Royal, you know, just marveling at our industry. Where else can you go? And I believe you actually said something like this about Jordan or A-Rod or something maybe last week.
Yep.
Where can you go play a sport and say, I'm going to go to batting practice with A-Rod, I think that's the way you put it. And then I was having drinks at Caesars with Myron.
Yeah.
You know, and you're sitting with the Godfather, the Man in Black, the Johnny Cash barbecue. And it's fantastic, and we're all just people. So, hey, you know, more and more people are picking up on it. I think that it's going to continue to grow and continue to escalate, even in this down economy. I know it's tougher for us teams to travel, but I see more and more folks getting in on it. You know, Unknown.
Yep.
Coming down there, and the unique story behind Barbecue Brother McKay turning that rig around for George Nickel in one day. So that they can get it out to the World Food Championship
and
make the deadline. You know, all these things that keep happening, it's building momentum.
Absolutely.
And, I want to tell you a little bit about my momentum. Can I share a little?
Yes, I want this breaking news, brother.
No, I want to tell you a little story first because I want to share with you, and this is it's amazing to me, and this is talking about that momentum because – it's not just the United States where people are craving barbecue. You know, Rub has gone down to Brazil. Rub Bagby has gone down to Brazil. And I just saw online today some kind of article, and I know everybody's reading it for the articles,
in
South American version of Playboy, about this restaurant he went down to teach how to cook barbecue, and it's all the rage. Now, I was in Vegas at the World Food Championships, and I'm doing my steak thing, and I'm doing my preaching and teaching and talking steaks, and I share with them how they can cook a good steak and give them all those four steps. And a gentleman and his wife are standing there and speaking very prim and proper English. They step up and grab the sample cup. He puts it in his mouth, and the beautiful thing about my job is I get to see the judges. Y'all don't. I get to see them put it in their mouth and see their reaction. Now, I can hear their words, but I get to see it in their eyes. What are they having the experience of? And then I get to tweak the next one or do what I want to do with the next one. And he puts it in his mouth. Sir, that is the best steak that I've ever tasted. You know, I say humbly as my mama raised me to do. Thank you. I appreciate it very much. But the great thing about it is that you can now do it at home with that confident cooking guide, and if you go to grillmastertour.com, you'll have the recipe.
Mm-hmm.
His wife speaks up and says, no, sir, he's not fluffing you. He's not fluffing your ego. I said, well, miss, thank you. I just cook them. Y'all can eat them, and y'all be the judge. The great thing is, if you like it, he can do it at your place, or you can do it for him, but you still got to go to the movies, is my joke. You know, he still got to take you to the show. And then he says, no, one more time. sir, this is the best steak I've ever taken. As he's doing it, he's taken out a jeweled car business card case. And I registered that it was jeweled, and I thought, man, that's dang nice. I wish I had one. And I'm pulling out my little folded wallet that's got 27,000 miles on it, you know, that I've driven around this year. I take out my business card and do the exchange, and I look at it, and I glance at it, and then I look at him in the eyes, and I say, thank you very much for the compliments. It really made my day, and the best compliment I can get is seeing you take seconds since you just took your second cup or whatever. And I turn, and I'm getting ready to do some things in this outdoor kitchen that I make every week, and I glanced down at the card again, and I thought, you know, that was awful fancy, too. And I looked at the card, got a coat of arms on it, Chad. And then I thought to myself, I said, I have never, not even in Europe, have I ever, and I traveled Europe, I have never heard of somebody's first name being Lord. It was an English Lord telling me it was the best steak he'd ever eaten. And then I started thinking, you know, the grill stocks and the, you know, the Tony Stone competition over there. And, you know, they've got some things building, some momentum building in Europe. And I really think that it's going to spread worldwide, and we're at the cusp, we're at the start. And it's been a lot of years getting here, and there's a lot of people came before us, but I think we're going to witness something really special.
No, I've said it. I agree with it. I think we're on the next poker.
Yeah.
I think if we can get any kind of recovery in this economy, but as you're seeing it, you know, I'm gonna cover it with Ronnie Cates here in a minute. He'll tell you, yeah, I mean, he didn't have $125,000 in Laughlin, he had $25,000, but he still had damn near 50 teams show up.
Yeah.
And you're still seeing attendance up. You're seeing some good things. So if we could just get this economy turned around just a hair, I think we're on to the next big thing. And here's the thing. It's one of those things where, you know, I would say 90% of people that go out and do it, man, they just get the bug. I know that there was the fellow next to me at the Mulberry contest here a couple weeks ago, and we're cleaning up and this and that, and I noticed, you know, he was just kind of sitting down on his cooler a little bit upset. And I'm not going to say his team name or who he was, but I walked over to him. I said, hey, man, I said, what's going on? He said, man, I didn't score well. He's like, you know, I've been practicing. I thought I did some things. I said, and I pulled up a cooler next to him. I said, well, if you want to share with me what you did, I said, I'll share with you how I think you can fix it.
Yeah.
And we probably sat down there for 15 minutes and talked, and he was a totally different guy in 15 minutes. He kind of jumped up and said, well, I'm probably going to see you at the next one. I said, brother, I'm a pretty accessible guy. You know, handed him a card and said, if you can't find me between Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, cell phone, email, radio show, then you ain't looking hard enough. But hey, you know, when you're test cooking, if something ain't right, if something, just give me a call, you know, because none of us want to see people get introduced to this hobby and then walk away from it.
Exactly.
We want everybody to walk away with a good impression and a good feeling.
Well, we've evolved to Wagyus and all this, you know, Compart Duroc and all this fun stuff that we're doing, and it's because we've done that.
Yeah.
We're trying to constantly grow and get to the best barbecue that anyone can ever cook. And it's a constantly evolving palate, too, with the judges. You know, and it's you've got to tweak things. It's not going to be 1978 sauce is going to win now. You know, it's the palates have changed and things, and the techniques, though, are primarily the same. But, you know, it's fun. It really is. And the fun continues. And the great thing is, and we'll get into Get Fired Up Foods now if you're all right with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
You know, we've got a game changer, as Greg Rimpey's calling it. And I have placed the manufacturing order on the game changer. When it arrives, I will officially make it out there. But you are about to see something that will change competition chicken and give you bite through skin. And it will be just fantastic for you on all sides. So it's a wonderful situation that I've developed, and all our tests are showing that it's just going to give us exactly what we're hoping for competition-wise. So folks out there, get excited and keep your eyes peeled. Go over to Get Fired Up Foods on Facebook and like it there. You'll see all the announcements coming. I will be going around the country doing classes, everything from what we're calling soirees to girls' night in classes. You know, it's a tough life, Chad. I don't know, 41
oh, yeah.
and single, you know, and having to go out and do a whole house full of ladies and teach them how to grill there. But then also, too, we're going to do parent kids. And I'm really keyed in on this kids' queue side of things around the country. And working with a few different states on that they're wanting to do kids' queues in the coming year. So, and I actually taught the junior world champs that they went up to Lake Placid and won 2 years running. So, you know, it's a wonderful situation where we can cultivate that next generation of great cooks. But then also, too, there's no moss growing under my feet. I just finished getting the excavator to where we mapped out today how we're going to excavate my outdoor cooking classroom.
Awesome.
and video set.
Ooh.
I've already got 29 videos requested to shoot in high def and do cooking videos for folks out there in the barbecue world. So we are going to hit it hard, and you know what? It's going to be outdoor cooking, whether it's on gas grills, charcoal, straight on the coals, Dutch oven, you name it. We're taking it out there and making it happen. So I'm really excited about that outdoor classroom and being able to showcase that. And it's going to be on Rush No More Ranch, my Christmas tree farm in Tennessee. And it's just fantastic opportunity there. And then I am, I'm not going to mention the part of this, but I'm doing an e-cookbook that will come out. And the other things out there that are happening, there'll be a video side to that cookbook as well. And then I'm probably, well, to me it's the most rewarding thing I'm doing this year because it means the most. I was adopted back when I was 5 days old, and I literally, before all these lotteries came around, I truly feel like I won the lottery. And my parents are fantastic, and I really value that experience and think that folks out there that adopt do a real blessing to the children that could have a long, hard life. And there is a local home called Mustard Seed Ranch. It's a faith-based organization, and they actually have 110 acres. They're dividing into two, so two ranches of 55 acres each. Now, down in Texas, that isn't hardly a pond.
Right. That's a good
up
ranch.
In Tennessee, that's a ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm doing a cookbook calendar to benefit them, but then also to benefit adopted dogs and pets. There's an organization called ARF. So I'm putting that cookbook out here in the coming weeks, and that's going to benefit. The proceeds will go to those two organizations. So it's just a real positive way to end the year, and frankly, it warms my heart. That's the way I can do what doesn't even measure up to what OBR is doing, but that's my way of trying to give back.
Well, you know, and Michael, I think it'd be a lot of fun. I'll obviously here too, personally, really big on the adoptive tip. We adopted my sister, Nicole, my wife. Her little brother's adopted. It's something that we've talked and are seriously considering. Talk to those folks, man. See if, even if it's got to be me and you squaring off, maybe fly up to Tennessee and maybe do a Grill Master Showdown and see if we couldn't get, you know, 50.
I'm having
people.
That Wild West whistle.
Yeah.
Let's
raise some money for some folks, man. I'd definitely be down with that. God knows I've got a gazillion miles, so it's nothing to free ticket up and free ticket back and get to see your part of the country a little bit, and we could raise some really good money for a really good cause.
We're gonna do it. Thank you. You heard it here, folks. Here first, folks, it's just that simple. You know, when people find out about you doing something, they want to get involved, and I really appreciate that, Chad.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to take you up on it. You know, with the side of all this stuff going on, people have been saying, well, where's your website? What's your website doing? And I've actually been keyed in on Facebook. So folks, really go over to Facebook, get on Get Fired Up Foods, and like it there, and that's where the message really gets out. But that we're going to have a full launch of a website as well this winter. And I think that might get me to January.
Yep. And then you may be back on the road doing it all over again.
If I'm so blessed, you know.
Well, brother, I appreciate having you on tonight. I got to pull you back up here in about a month or so because we haven't covered it all. But you know me, I was long with Rob because that's my boy and I love OBR to death. And now, you know, you're just as tight with me and I'm long with you. And I've got Stacy and Ronnie over here that I got to pull up and talk about Laughlin. But let's not make it months again. Let's make it weeks. Let's get you back on here about 4 to 6 weeks, get an update on things and do a little deeper dive. I mean, both of us love barbecue and grilling. And that's what this show is about sharing our knowledge and helping folks, just get better and learn new things. And I think when me and you get together and start talking about this kind of stuff, there's a lot of stuff we agree on and a lot of stuff that we got different stances on, and that's good. That makes people try things, and that makes people get better.
Nothing says I can't change my stance. You can convince me. I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everybody since I won't be able to before then. But take care, and Chad, I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, take care, Mike. Always good. All right, guys, Michael McDearman, Get Fired Up Foods, American Grill Master Experience. Good friend of mine, always a blast to have on the show, always dropping plenty of barbecue and grilling knowledge. And like I said, I'll hold him to it. We're going to be, we'll have him back on in the next 4 to 6 weeks because Mike was always a good time. And I bet me and Michael together could carry 2 hours. We just have a blast with it, and it's always a good time. So with that being said, real quick, before I go over to Stacy and Ronnie, I want to thank another sponsor of the show and tell you guys a couple of things. And that's TheBarbecueSuperstore.com. Mark and Richard over there, great folks. They've got the Facebook store that we talked about last week. If you go over and you like TheBarbecueSuperstore.com, you're going to get 5% off everything you buy in the Facebook store. And these are already pretty much super low prices. And these are guys, they're cooks. So if you got to put an order on Monday or Tuesday, they're going to do everything they can to get it fulfilled and get it to your door on Thursday or Friday just in time for that contest. Just make sure when you send your order, make a note, hey, guys, really trying to get this before the contest, and they'll do everything within their power to make that happen. Also, just happening this week, they are now carrying Harry Sue's Slappy Old Daddy line of products. So go over there, check that out. It's just already adding to a great list of products that's on that site. It's truly becoming your one-stop shop. To me, always has been. I don't have to go anywhere besides there to get what I cook in a competition. And also with the holidays right around the corner, guys, remember, gift certificates starting as low as $5. So for that cousin that you really don't like but you got to get him something, get him a $10 gift certificate to TheBarbecueSuperstore.com. Or if it's that brother you really love, get him a $100 gift certificate to TheBarbecueSuperstore.com. Either way, they've got you covered. Mark and Richard, thanks so much for your support to the show. And also, guys, as fans and as listeners, go out there and support them. They won't do you wrong. Great products, great service, and an even better price. All right, with that being said, let's pull up Stacy and Ronnie.
Hey, Chad.
Hey, Stacy. How you doing?
How are you?
Good.
Doing great.
Excellent. Ronnie, you there?
Oh, I'm doing right here. How about that Michael, man? He's something else. I got to know him through the Sam's Club contest. That guy really knows his stuff.
Oh, yeah, man. McDearman's good people, man, for sure.
Good people, absolutely.
So, just one of us Southern folks down here in God's country. So, man, are you guys all rested up? Man, let's talk a little bit about Laughlin. Ronnie.
I'm still on Laughlin time.
Oh, you're still on Laughlin time? You should be wide awake, Stacy.
That would be me.
So, Ronnie, how did this all come about? Did you seek Laughlin, or did Laughlin kind of seek you, or what kind of all rolling up there?
Well, it's kind of a weird situation. We had actually, after we had done the ACM Awards, Las Vegas Events had approached me about doing an event down in Laughlin because they were starting to promote Laughlin along with Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to do an event, the first weekend in this month. What month we are? I'm already losing my
November. It's been a busy
first weekend in November. And of course, now we had made that announcement. We were going to do that before anybody knew about the World Food Championship. So, you know, I kind of, you know, a lot of the barbecue teams are probably going to be competing in the World Food Championship. So we decided to have a Veterans Day festival instead. And so that's where we moved to the second weekend there. But they had approached us about doing that and went over so well that we decided that this is going to be an annual event. I hate to use the words. You hear my voice is hoarse. I think it's either from singing or, you know me, I like shooting crabs. Probably all
that
crap.
That's all I could think was I'd really like to be barbecuing out in Laughlin this weekend, but I'd really like to be doing is rolling crabs without smoke on the water group.
Oh, my gosh.
We have a good time when we do it, my friend.
Hey, it was so. Listen, the first night, Stacey and I were there. We had, you know, I kind of get crazy on the crab table sometime, and they had actually. We were over there for a long time, and they brought Mr. Laughlin over to meet us. So, so he tells you I'm lost a lot of money or something bad was happening there. But anyway, Mr. Laughlin.
I believe one of the hosts called him a wild man, Chad.
Well, hey, it only took a couple hours, huh, Ronnie? Damn.
Without a doubt.
So, hey, did any of those big yo bets hit at all?
Oh, all the time, man. We hit them left and right. When we left Vegas, we was rolling in dough. When we left Laughlin, we were borrowing money for cab fare. So it was one of the. Very great experience.
It's one of those things, brother. When you're a gambler, there's high highs and low lows.
Absolutely. But I got to tell you, we had such a good time, and we love Laughlin. And this is even our first announcement we can even make on your show here because we had originally we were going for the big money in Laughlin. And of course, you know, like I said, we had the World Food Championships come up and several of the contests. So when we were with the Academy Country Music Awards, we'd already hit all our sponsors up, and, you know, it's hard to kind of go to the well twice, you know. And so literally, we just kind of went straight from Vegas to Laughlin. So we put that thing together roughly by the time you signed the contracts within 3 months. And we still drew almost 50 teams, and we were very pleased with the turnout. And it just so happened that Mr. Laughlin lives up on top of his casino there. And he happened to look down and see. He first thing is he came by Friday, and I sampled all the barbecue and saw everything. And he saw how great everything was going. I mean, we were just—I'd estimate we had about 18,000 plus come through on the weekend there, you know, along with everything else we had. And so anyway, he called his second in command and. During a turn-in, of course, they want to talk to you during turn-in while I'm trying to work and everything. But, yeah, he said, Mr. Laughlin called and asked, would you like to do two of these here next year? Wow. And, yeah, we said, oh, yeah, certainly. And one of the things we'd asked that, you know, we need to have that six-figure prize money. And he said that would be done. So we're going on flying out in 2 weeks to meet with those guys and get all the dates and get everything set, but we're definitely going to have a six-figure contest in Laughlin next year, but we're going to have two events there. So we're really happy about that. And also we have actually a handshake deal with the Harris. We're going to have a World Series type event with Harris Casino on several of their properties. I was supposed to go down to New Jersey and meet and get everything signed with them next week, but obviously, they're underwater right now, and so that kind of got postponed. But we've already made our deal with the Harris in Mississippi, and so we're, like I said, just waiting to go back up to New Jersey and kind of get that done. So we're going to have an announcement to make where we're going to have several events next year and really push Laughlin, and we really liked it down there. I mean, the backdrop was great. You couldn't ask for better infrastructure and everything that they had, so we're very pleased with the way everything turned out there.
Well, Ronnie, when that Harris deal gets finalized, there's only one place you need to announce it, brother, right here.
Oh, you know that's a fact.
Because that sounds cool because I think I know where you're going with it to where you know, Harrah's is obviously all over the country. And much like they do with their poker circuit play, you know, it could have a little bit of a Sam's Club feel to it. It may not. But, you know, it may be the top 5 or 10 out of each one of those move on to wherever you guys decide to hold the finale at. And let's just be honest, man, you know, Harrah's ain't short on change.
Oh, no, you're exactly right. Yeah, we found out we love casinos, and that's like in, for example, in Laughlin, you know, because all the teams stay there in the hotels, and, you know, they're handing out coupons and things to everybody, and that's one of the main things I'm sure Don liked. Look at that, I'm on first name basis with now. That's Mr. Laughlin. that's one thing Mr. Laughlin liked, too, is that we packed his casino. And so, you know, that's the whole deal. I think that's almost kind of like where the future's going. What really happens, Chad, with don't let me hog the conversation here, Stacey, but what happens with the future of barbecue is what people don't understand. It is so tough for the infrastructure because in order to supply electricity, you know, a lot of times when you're dealing with casinos or anybody else, you know, you got unions involved and you got this and that involved, and all of a sudden you got six figures just into electricity, just to power everybody up.
Just for 50-amp power.
It's crazy, man. And
you're like, shit, couldn't I build a power plant for this? I'm just working to drop, bro.
We're going solar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what we're hoping is getting some of these events, maybe where even generators work or something of that nature. But I know that's, you know, that hurts a lot of contests because, you know, we're kind of like, even the casinos are like, hey, if you can figure out a way to get this infrastructure going, then we would throw that money into prize money, you know, instead of trying to do it.
And here's my thing, Ronnie, is I know for me, just a guy that cooks out of a 20-foot cargo trailer, if you told me, hey, Chad, you know, so we could add 20 grand to the prize pool, and you're always transparent with us when it comes to, hey guys, you know, and that's one thing I love about you as organizer is, hey guys, this may not be the way it's been in the past, but if you got to buy $15 worth of fuel to run your generator all weekend, but we can add $25,000 to the prize pool.
Absolutely.
You know, and to me, if I was you, my thing would be get with the local rental company, say, hey, we're going to provide every team with 20-amp power. Well, anybody that needs 50-amp and can afford a $60,000 toy hauler to a $250,000 coach should be able to friggin' afford $50 worth of gas to run the damn thing all weekend.
My sentiments exactly. That's what we're always saying. And those are the ones that bitch the most. Is, oh,
right.
Man, I need us. Man, you got. I said you have a generator right here.
Right.
You're not going to run more than $50 worth of gas max. And I know if you can afford that rig, that's not going to hurt you much. So.
Right. Well, and it's one of those things you know, because Ronnie, you've got to say too. I mean, the one thing that Smoke on the Water has made their name on is they want to have the biggest, richest, best payouts and a great time to go along with it. And you guys just don't. It's not like it's a bare bones thing where you guys have money. I mean, you always have for us VIP parties. If we need something, you guys are at our beck and call. You know, not only you, Stacy, Kirby, but your mom and your dad, your cousins, your nephews. They're all around there making stuff happen. And when you've cooked 3, 4, 5 Smoke on the Water events like we have, you know the people you need to talk to, and shit gets done and gets taken care of. And that's just a nice comfort, especially when you're flying halfway across or all the way across the country to cook a contest. It's nice to know if I do get a problem when I get on site, it's going to get fixed.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we try and do, customer service, and get them keep coming back. And that is the majority of our people do come back, and we're starting to really expand. I got to tell you, I love that area out there, and, you know, from Nevada and California and Utah and all those. And so, you know, we, like I said, we're just trying to expand our horizons out there and still stay here in the southern states also. But that's what we're trying to do. And I tell you, and also trying to get sponsors, that's another thing that kind of is getting to you, is because there's so many the big events out there that, you know, and sponsors only have so much money to go around. So
absolutely.
If even some of these littler contests, you almost feel for them, because I see a lot of those smaller contests not necessarily might not be making it in the future just because, like, you have your you know, Sam's Club used to give them $5,000, whatever it may be. Well, now, you know, they have their own contest, and they're not giving up that prize, I mean, that sponsor money, you know, like they used to. So it just gets, and people don't understand how much it takes, you know, just to put one of these events on. So I just, you know, hope everybody can keep on going. And obviously, the more events we have, the better off it is for barbecue in the long run anyway.
Absolutely. So, Stacy, I'm gonna throw this one at you, and I'm going to give my analysis, and then I'm going to ask you to give yours.
All right.
And I've brought this up to you guys in the past. Last year at the Orleans, felt like I was at home. Our kind of people, you know, kind of down to earth, really kind of took care of you. Cheap room rates, great coupons, affordable gaming, all that stuff. So then this year we go to the ACMs at Mandalay Bay. Beautiful venue, still affordable gambling, but maybe a little bit stiff. And to me, probably, and I don't know this, but seemed pretty regimented that they probably made your life a little bit more difficult than it had to be. But then the feedback I'm getting from Laughlin is I'm getting a lot of that same Orleans feel.
You would not believe it.
You know, homey, enjoyable, love having us there, giving us coupons. And here's the thing. I think the Orleans and what it sounds like in Laughlin is they both did a good job of giving us enough stuff to be able to track our play. I could sit there and go, yeah, you know, that big ugly son of a gun from Florida, yeah, I may have gave him a $39 room, but, you know, he cashed in for $2,000 at the craps table. You know, and sit there and get a true price on us instead of kind of like Mandalay. To me, I kind of felt like we were a big deal at the Orleans and what I'm hearing about Laughlin, the same deal there. Whereas Mandalay Bay, we may have been a little bit more of a kind of a leaf in the stream, if you will. Am I kind of right with my analysis there? Am I wrong?
No, you're on the money. You know how barbecue is family. Barbecue competitions, it's like family. I can name, I guarantee you right now, 10 different employees at Laughlin, be they a waitress, it could have been the dice manager at the craft table, we know well.
Yeah,
his name is David, by the way. But these were the nicest, down-home, what can I do to make your life easier? What do you need? They took wonderful care of our teams. It's affordable. And where else can you look across the Colorado River and look at the mountains in Arizona? It was so beautiful, and the atmosphere was wonderful. Everybody was so super, super nice. I can't wait to go back. You don't get any better.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I can definitely tell you we ain't going to miss it next year.
I hope not. We missed you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. That makes me smile a little bit. And Ronnie, could you say the same thing?
Listen, she hit the nail on the head. We even talked about this. It just seems like, and this is not meaning to slam Mandalay Bay or whatever, but Mandalay Bay, I got to be honest with you, thought we should think it's just a prestige to be there instead of where Laughlin think they're just happy to have us there, and they want us there. And they treat you, you know, they just treat you with the utmost respect. They make you feel at home. And we're talking, Chad, hell, they were charging, the Mandalay Bay was charging $400 a night for a room. And you're talking $32, you know, what we got at Laughlin. And then giving out coupons for things, and they get it. It's kind of like, again, not slamming Mandalay Bay, but it's kind of like they, you know, didn't think, You should be inside. We're kind of like, man, give out coupons, give out slot play, do this, do that. And every time you turn around, it was just like pulling teeth. And, you know, they would have, they'd be on the clock. It's union people. Well, somebody had to come fix your generator. Well, that's $200. And you're just getting all these unexpected bills left and right. Whereas Boston, like the Orleans, they were just happy to have us there. They thought the event was great. And like I said, Mr. Laughlin himself, you know, actually came down. Now, how many... I can't even say CEO. He owns the damn place. So, I mean, how many people come in, and he visited everybody, ate barbecue, and then welcomed everybody here and gave, I mean, it was just the hospitality is second to none. And so that's what we decided is to get away from this prestigious name or whatever. We want to go where we feel wanted. And we really felt like that at Laughlin. It's great. You got the water taxis there. You're on the Colorado River. It's a beautiful setting. And Manly, and believe me, our welcome parties were second to none also. So, I mean, we had everything all the other big casinos have, except they just didn't have the big names. But I don't know about you, but I want to feel appreciated.
Yes,
and
sir.
Just, you know, and treated nice. And then they just made us feel welcome, where the other casinos was, you know, well, you should just be happy you're at the Mandalay Bay. Well, this is a business, brother. We're all in this, you know, to give out as much prize money as we can. And, you know, everybody's got to try and make a buck. And if every time you turn around, you know, they're charging you $30 for a $5 bag of ice, it, you know, it just kind of gets old after a while. So we are very happy where we're at Laughlin. Harris, we feel like, is going to be definitely the same exact way.
Yep.
They just want to have you there. They want to treat you right. And get this, man, this will blow your mind. Mandalay Bay selling beer for $8 a beer. And then when they weren't selling beer, they asked me why not. And I said, well, because you're selling beer for $8. And we go to our loft and we're selling beer for $2. So, you know, that's the difference. So that's the mentality. You know, they want you to have a good time without trying to rip your head off. And
same day, I mean, I think at the Orleans, you guys extended to teams. If we didn't want to have to buy beer and haul it back, we could get like a case of beer for like $20. It was like,
absolutely.
Sure. Delivered to my site. Done deal. I ain't going to haul around for that. Give me two cases and three bags of ice, and we'll call it done.
That is absolutely correct. And like I said, I hope I haven't heard much about the World Food Championships. I hope they went off well. And like I said, I hope they continue doing what they're doing. That seemed like a great concept. I've talked to Mike McLeod a couple of times, and I know I can imagine what he went through. I know what the logistics are for just working with one casino. I couldn't imagine working with four or five of them. So I hope all that went off well and they continue doing that. But I got to tell you, we're sticking to barbecue. I'm not worried about sandwiches and side dishes and things. I want my people to cook barbecue, man.
That's what I wanted to hear. That's why I always said, God bless Ronnie Cates. just keeping it focused and keeping it simple, brother. And I'm excited to hear about this Laughlin thing and this Harris thing, because as you know, man, we try to promote and support Smoke on the Water Productions as much as possible. You know, I feel like, Ronnie, you know, in a down economy, you're still that visionary making things happen. And you got a great support staff with Stacy and Kirby and Mom and Dad.
Oh, absolutely.
And I did tell Kirby she had to make sure and give Miss Betty a kiss for me on the cheek. I ain't trying to hurt y'all's feelings, but she's the one I probably missed the most.
Hey, let me tell you this, too. Now, one thing we've done, even in this down economy, because we knew it was down, I don't even know if you noticed, I mean, our entry fees were like $200.
Yes.
There. So we try and do that, too, with the teams. Now, when you get that big prize money, you got to offset it just a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, because it costs a little bit more. But isn't this funny? I got to tell you, and I started this thing 12 years ago with all the events we did, and now we're saying we only gave away $20,000. I'm like, hell, man, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying only. So we might have created a monster, but we threw this thing together in like 3 months and really didn't have sponsors to go with other than the casino and my good friend, Buddy Weiser.
Yep.
And, you know, they helped all that out. So, like I said, now we have a whole year, and I'm flying out there to meet with them on that. So you got a whole year to get your sponsors up there. And believe me, you're going to be the first to know. We'll make our announcements on our Harris deal and then the dates we have at Laughlin. But we're going to do two huge events out there. And like I said, we want to get that word out quick and get everybody so they make trips. And listen, man, make it like a vacation. That's what most of these people do. I mean, because it's so less expensive. And you're like me, brother. A crap table is a crap table is a crap table. It don't matter where it's at.
Exactly. And the more welcome they make you feel, the nicer they are, the better off it is. And I'll tell you what, Ronnie, when you talk about the prices that the Orleans extended us, that Laughlin extended y'all.
Oh, absolutely.
It makes a lot of sense I want to say at Orleans, me and my wife didn't fly back until like Wednesday. Because
absolutely.
Yeah. We're like, dude, for another $120, we can hang around 3 days? Absolutely, we're in. You know?
And They all, man, it's nice. Like I said, in Laughlin, you'll love it. They got the water taxis, all the casinos are on the side. And now, obviously, they're not the flashy, glitzy places, but, you know, I kind of like the laid-back demeanor there. And as Stacy will get on me, they don't have a tier system. Everybody is the same. So if I gamble $20,000 and she gambles $100, she's just as important as I am. So
that's,
we should have to wait in line.
That's good for those of us who can't gamble $20,000. Chad, talking about the vendors and the sponsors, just so you'll know what kind of crowd we had, I know that three of our vendors sold completely out of barbecue.
Wow.
Sold out of everything. That's how even the locals were happy to have us there. They were all excited.
That is great.
Well,
because
some of the people down in that area think barbecue is roast beef with barbecue sauce poured over
right,
it. So they haven't gotten really good barbecue. So, and barbecue, like you said, Michael said it, everybody's saying barbecue is such a big thing now. I mean, and people, and who doesn't love barbecue? And I'm telling you, it draws them. Man, we just had local bands, nothing big. We just had 5 food vendors and, you know, some different outdoor vendors. And we had some grilling demonstrations and stuff. And the town just took to it and loved it. And we drew a hell of a crowd. And well, like I said, obviously Mr. Laughlin liked that. And he's invited us back to have 2 events there. So it is. It's just it's big business. More people are getting involved in it. We gave away tons of literature on, you know, everybody's seeing every time you turn on TV now, you're seeing something about barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
And who would have thought that 12 years ago, man? I mean, who would have thought we'd be talking to you on a radio program about barbecue? I mean,
yeah.
Nobody ever thought that would happen.
No, and it's amazing. I mean, I've only been around it since 07, but just seeing the growth and the way it's taken off, and like we said, even in this economy, it's crazy, but it's great. And so, you know, we'll keep riding that wave, and we just need people like y'all, Ronnie, that are out there, you know, blazing the trails, keeping barbecue prevalent with the big brands and the big sponsors, and that just makes life good, man. The one last question I got for you.
Yes, sir.
Before we wrap up and move on to my last guest is You made a comment on the show a couple times back that you had had a couple conversations with maybe doing something at Dallas Cowboys Stadium. Any further word on that?
Yeah, we're still negotiating on that. Obviously they're in the middle of their football season now.
Yep.
What we're trying to do at Cowboys Stadium is they have a professional the PBR there.
Yeah.
And they think a barbecue will go great with the PBR, and so we're still those discussions are open, and they're just kind of on hold until after the football season, hoping Jerry wins a couple more games. The bad thing about Jerry is he's very proud, and he wants you to pay him to stay in his parking lot. So we're negotiating, trying to get that fee waived, you know, where we can go. But they think that goes hand in hand with the PBR and this. And, you know, that would just, you know, that would be a huge event in Texas. And, so, you know, if we can get that going, I feel good about our latest talks and everything. But that is on the schedule, too. And this year, we're not waiting around. We're going to have our schedule done and made and ready to go before January so we can announce it and everybody can make their plans to attend all our events.
Well, sounds good. Well, why don't you tentatively hold a spot for me about 4 or 5 weeks from now, which will be a little bit before Christmas time, and maybe we'll have you back on the show and we can talk through that schedule in a little more detail.
You know I will, brother. We always appreciate you, and thanks for promoting barbecue, brother.
Absolutely. See, Ronnie, thank you so much.
All right.
We look forward to talking to y'all again soon.
Have a good
thank
one, Chad. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, you too.
All right, guys. That's Ronnie Cates and Stacy Haynes. I'll tell you what, man, I've always been a supporter of Ronnie Cates, always will be. The guy is doing, you know, just great things with barbecue in here. Been around it 12 years, always supporting it. It's just awesome. Always will support his events because he goes above and beyond to make sure you're taken care of and to make sure there's always good prize money. He makes the juice worth the squeeze, and that's pretty kick-ass. So Smoke on the Water Productions, follow him on Facebook. Go over smokeonthewaterbbq.com. That's their website. And like I said, we'll have them on here mid to late December to talk to us about what they've got scheduled for 2013. And I know that we always work our schedule around it. If there's a Ronnie Cates event, I love the FBA. I love the other KCBS events. But if there's a Ronnie Cates event and we can get to it, we try to make sure we're always there. With that being said, let me pull up my dear cousin and now some sort of way business partner, Adam Norman. Adam, what's up, brother?
Hey, man. Sitting here listening to y'all talk. Is the echo bad? I'm in my office at the house.
So, man, I hope we ain't talked your ear off too much. This is 2 hours of barbecue every Tuesday night, man. It's what we love to talk about.
No, I love hearing it. You know, y'all are much more entrenched in than I am. You know, I'm kind of new at the whole competition barbecue, but I still know how to build stuff.
Absolutely. And that's how we're going to kind of get this thing started, Adam, is, you know, obviously, you know, me and you grew up together. We've known each other, you know, forever and a day. And I didn't even know till a couple years ago when I saw you out at Lakeland Pig Fest cooking in backyard. And I think it was about the time we had moved from backyard up to the pro division. And we got to chit-chat. And I think I ribbed you a little bit. And I said, I saw you were cooking on a big old barrel smoker. And I said, your family's still in the metal business, right? And you're like, yeah, of course. What do you mean? I said, well, I'd believe you'd be cooking on something a little more efficient than this. And I don't know if that got the wheels turning or what it may have been, but how did the whole Southern Bread Smokers thing get started?
All right, well, you know, you saw the genesis of it for sure. So, you know, I'm cooking around the house. I always cooked on the new Braunfels that I got at Walmart, and I'd throw a bunch of charcoal in it, get some wood in the side, and I'd just cook, and everybody I cooked for thought it was great. You know, oh, this is great. Well, they've never had real barbecue was the problem. And so I started getting a little cocky at it, and my wife was on the Pig Fest committee. I said, I want to enter in Pig Fest. And that was when you were ribbing me, and it was the year that you went from backyard pro. I played dead last. So I was like, you know, I'm not as good as I think I am. So I started doing a little bit of research and brought the barrel smoker out there the next year. And I think I placed, like, middle of the road on everything. So the third year, I think it was kind of the same thing. My wheels started, I was like, you know what, I'm going to look into these pellet smokers a little bit, start looking at some Traegers and stuff. And then in the fourth year, I'd been doing the Pig Fest. I said, I'm going to buy a Fast Eddie. You know, pellet smokers are the way to go. All my research I've done, I think pellet smokers are the way to go. Well, I bought the Fast Eddie, and it was great. Bring it into the garage, turn it on, you set your temperature, you walk away, you come back. Whenever your food's ready, you pull it out and eat it. And we actually did a little bit better Pig Fest last year. We placed 10th in pork, and I thought that was great. And I started paying attention, going to a few. I went to a couple other barbecue competitions, cooked at Ribs on the Ridge last year, and I started going and visiting some other barbecue competitions, and I could smell the charcoal smell. I said, what is that? So I started asking around about these charcoal smokers, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't really know that a Stumps was a gravity-fed smoker. And I looked into a Viking gravity-fed smoker. I said, that thing's pretty neat. You know, I like that idea. You know, you can kind of lick your charcoal. But I never really could get my brain wrapped around how a ball valve can run a piece of charcoal. So I started doing some test things. I put a piece of tube on a box, put a ball valve on it, and I couldn't get it. I couldn't replicate what they say they can replicate. So I said, if I do a forced air draft and turn this thing into into something that I can control, then I may be onto something. So the wheels started turning. Make a long story short, I sat here on 4th of July and pulled up my modeling software at the house, and I started designing a grill that I thought would work. And it's just been going from there. And the first competition we rolled it into, we placed first in pork in backyard. I said, man, I think I'm onto something. So that's kind of where you and I started looking at them together, was there at there in Mulberry.
Absolutely. And what I saw there was, you know, obviously, you know, we've been a team that's been sponsored by GMG, 2010 pellet grill manufacturer, great pellet grill manufacturer. But you start seeing guys like Rob Bagby, Dana Hillis, those kind of folks that are getting some smoke on their product before they throw it to a pellet cooker. You start seeing these guys start taking care of things. You see guys like Unknown Barbecue that cook just on a insulated gravity fed smoker. And, you know, so we brought the old Stumps out of retirement and started cooking on it. And, you were gone on Friday night, which is a feature we're going to talk about here in a minute. But I kind of saw this cooker. I was like, damn, that is a beautiful cooker. And I saw a mutual friend of mine and yours. He's like, man, you don't know that's Adams? I was like, no, dude. Hell no, I didn't know that was Adams. And so, you know, beyond opening it, I must have looked that thing over for 15 minutes. I was like, man, this is a great design. It's already got the electronics built in, you know, blah, blah, blah. I must have walked by it six times, and you had it set at 250. And I think the most it fluctuated between 249 and 251. I mean, it was all over it. And so, you know, obviously we waited until after turn-ins on Saturday, and I came over and started picking your brain about it. And, you know, next thing you know, got to walk through the cooker, was super impressed with it. And, you know, it's kind of just went from there. You know, I mean, we got the back porch, which I've had for 2 weeks now and been cooking on and just love it to death. And I think we've got something here that's a little bit different just because of not only what the standard package is with the, you know, with the fan, the controller, everything already built into it. And also just the engineering of it. I mean, that thing, you know, for that Colt Ford thing this weekend, I had a brisket, four butts and four slabs of ribs in it. And, man, it just killed it, all weekend. And that's really pretty much a contest load. You can throw some chicken in there on the fourth rack if you want to, and, you can cook a contest on it. And I don't know, man, I'm just super impressed. And I like the fact that that's the base model. But then the reason you were gone Friday night when I was looking around at Pigfest is, The cooker you were cooking on, the Granddaddy, is souped up a little bit. It's got that Wi-Fi connection. Can you tell the folks a little bit about that option?
Yeah, I'm still refining that process 100%. You know, that one did not have the Wi-Fi built into it, but we are going to start putting the Wi-Fi connection, so you don't have to have a hotspot or a you don't have to have a Wi-Fi or a hotspot or something to work off of. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put a mobile broadband system on it. And the controller that's in there that comes standard with every model is already can be integrated into, let's call it the cyber portion of it. And what you're going to have, you're going to have a website that you're going to be able to go to. You're going to have to pay a monthly fee, and you're going to be able to go and set up on the website. And I'm going to have the website built, and it's going to be a standard blanket. And you're going to be able to read your meat probes, which are optional, will be built in. You'll be able to read your meat probes. You'll know which meat probe is plugged into which meat. You can watch your meat. You can watch your meat from anywhere in the world, the temperature, and you'll also be able to monitor the temperature of your grill. There's going to be another feature, too, that if you say you want to start out at 185 and you want to cook at 185 for 3 hours, the controller will actually do that, but you can also watch the temperature of your meat from wherever you are, off your computer, or your smartphone, your iPhone, whatever, and then you can adjust the temperature to the grill from your phone. So
yeah, so you can ramp down or ramp up depending on where you're at.
Right, exactly. You'll have full control of the control unit from your phone, from your computer, wherever you want to be. If you want to go to a hotel room so you don't have to sleep in your trailer or your truck that night, you can go to the hotel room, set your phone up, keep on looking at it. You know, whatever it needs, you're going to be able to do. So it's definitely the one of the back porch models. I've got five back porches in production right now. One of the back porch models is going to be full-fledged meat probes. It's going to have the cyber connection on it. It's going to be every option, slam latch. I'm going to make one and for lack of better words, I'm going to pimp it out.
Yep.
So that's what we're that's my goal for one of these, and you know, we can get some real live data off how this thing really works without having to have a Wi-Fi connection. Because
yep.
Let's face it, how many barbecue competitions have Wi-Fi connection? So,
not a whole hell of a lot of them.
Not a whole lot. And you know, you can turn your phone into a hotspot, but then if you want to leave, then you don't have your phone. So I kind of felt like that was an inconvenience. You know, for a little bit extra money, you can get this mobile broadband unit, and it's a done deal. So, and I think it's a nice feature to be able to add to something, you know, because this is a top-of-the-line grill. This is not
yes.
something you're going to buy at Walmart. This is not a little something that's going to rust out in a few years. When you buy this, it's an investment. You might as well spend a couple hundred more dollars just to get the connection you want. And also, if you're cooking on at the house, you know, there are guys that especially competition guys that are practicing, you know, a new rub or a new style or something, you know, they can set it and go to work, and they monitor it throughout the day. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's a great feature to, you know, enhance your barbecue along with enhancing the barbecue while you're at the competition as well.
Absolutely. And so, Adam, we've got about 5 minutes, and I don't want to go too much further without going ahead and announcing this, and that is, you know, guys, I've been getting a lot of feedback and a lot of questions off of Facebook on the back porch model. Let's talk about it for a second. Cooking dimensions inside the cooker. We're 17.5 inches wide, 24 inches deep, and 17 inches tall from the last rack up.
Right.
Under that, we've probably got another 23 to 25 inches. That's kind of what we call quote-unquote dead space, where, you know, obviously we don't want any racks down there because of where we're introducing the heat into the cook chamber. We've got what we have found in our cooks is around 8 pounds of charcoal will get you 10 hours. Now, mind you, if you follow me on Facebook, I've done 2 pounds of regular charcoal, 2 pounds of lump charcoal, 2 splits of wood, and 2 pounds of pellets, all in the gravity fed, and I'd never fluctuated more than 3 degrees up or down the whole time. And what I was trying to do was just see, you know, just see if I could break it, and I couldn't. But if you want to run just good old, you know, lump charcoal, you know, obviously if you're on a gravity fed, I always recommend that you sort your lump charcoal, make sure there's no ridiculously huge pieces or anything like that. If you want to cook full splits, you can go over to somebody like Baxter's, which we're going to be working with Michael Baxter here in the future, on, you know, the splits that you can put down in there, chunks you can put down in there. You can actually work your wood into your gravity feed on where you want it and where you think you'll be. But at the end of the day, if you just fill it up with charcoal, 8 pounds is about a 10-hour cook time.
That's my experience, too, on the back porch. I think you can get a little more than 10 hours out of it, but I think it's a conservative estimate to say 10 hours, you know, as a selling point is for sure.
And then competition-wise, what I've seen and what I personally have cooked on it is I've cooked 1 brisket in the pan, I've cooked 4 pork butts, I've cooked 4 slabs of St. Louis style or back ribs, and 15 chicken thighs. I've done all that on 1 back porch, and it's super, and it fits, and it's got good airflow, and it does all the right things. Standard on this unit, automotive paint. It's got Adam, for the introductory, can we throw in all 4 racks?
Yes.
Okay. It's got the forced air draft with controller. We find in our test that it'll go anywhere from about 185 to 400 degrees. It's a 10 CMF fan. It's got the heavy-duty handles, and it's got the grease pan in the bottom. One more thing, Adam, I'm going to make you throw in for this introductory price, and you're probably going to kill me afterwards. can we throw in the casters?
We'll throw in the casters for, you know, for the first. We'll, you and I will come up with a number. We'll throw in the casters. And the only reason I made it an option is because some guys are going to mount this on a trailer.
Or
put it in the house. That's right. So, you know, that's why I made it an option. I don't want guys that don't want casters to say, well, I don't want to pay for casters. So, you know, it's a pretty inexpensive option anyways. But absolutely, we'll throw in the casters. We'll throw in the extra pan. And actually, Chad, I think I'm going to go with a 25 CFM fan on there.
Okay.
I just, you know, I know you and I talked about the 10. You felt like it was pretty good, but I've actually, you know, I've got your back porch at my house now, and I wanted to play with the temperature on it a little bit, so I've got it running right now. And I just feel like it comes up to temperature a little bit slow.
Okay. Well, and it's obviously if you go with a 25 CMF fan, all it's going to do is just work a lot less, which is going to give you a lot more life out of it before you got to replace it.
That's right. It's going to give you a puff of air versus, you know, if you open the door, it's going to come back up to temperature faster. And, you know, not that it comes back up slow. I mean, it's back up to temperature in less than 2 minutes. But, you know, it's, we know with the 10, but with the 25, I think we're going to get a little bit more action out of it. It's going to be a little more responsive.
Excellent. All right, guys, so the price on that cooker, gravity-fed, insulated, controller already on board, casters, 4 racks, can cook a whole barbecue competition on it. You're here first, $2,500. For the first five cookers that we can get out there, Southern Bread Smokers, back porch model, we're going to be at $2,500.
I'm going to throw something else in, too, real quick. I'm going to do a custom paint color. If you don't want red, I'll paint it whatever color you want.
Excellent. So we're going to throw in whatever paint color you want, everything about the cooker, casters, 4 grates, You're going to be into it for $2,500. Obviously, that's FOB Lakeland, Florida, all built right here in the Imperial Polk County. If, you know, obviously, what we didn't get into tonight because, you know, we just were short on time is Adam and his family have been in the structural metal business for 30 years. You're going to be able to get the best LTL freight rates out of Adam and them's parent company that are known to man. So if you need it shipped, we're going to be able to get it shipped to you. For you folks that are on the live feed, I'm going to go ahead and sign out and tell you until next week, keep the pit lit. For you guys that want to listen to the archive and catch the after discussion, please do, because me and Adam are going to go for a couple more minutes. All right, Adam, so we wrapped up the show. What happens is at 2 hours solid, they cut me off live. But if folks want to download or come back to the website and listen to the last 5-10 minutes, they can do that, you know, the next day or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I hate to get in the middle of discussion. I knew I was pressing myself having four guests tonight because you've known me long enough. I'm a little long-winded. I'm a little passionate when I get to talking about things. But the good part is we got the introduction of the cooker out there. People have already gotten to know it on Facebook. We got the price out there. And I think folks are gonna take off on this because I think it's one of the most competitive choices on the market. And the way it cooks, I've just been thoroughly impressed with it.
Well, you know, I cooked ribs tonight. I wasn't just testing. I was testing a couple other things too. But I hadn't cooked ribs. And after you told me that Colt Ford was about to gnaw his arm off one more rib, I got to cook these ribs because that's the only thing I haven't cooked on it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I cooked some ribs on it, and man, I tell you what, they were melt in your mouth.
Yep.
They were, and I'll be honest with you, we got that thing over in Plant City this weekend, and I'm not gonna have me a back porch because I won't have it done in time. But I want one bad to cook my ribs on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyways, you know, I kind of hit this thing pretty good. You know, I got a lot of experience with building stuff, but I'm really impressed with it, not just because it's something that I came up with. It's just a really good cooker. It really is. Every time I cook on it, I'm more and more impressed.
So did you cook on it after the two changes me and you talked about the other day?
No, I haven't made it yet. I'm taking this shop with me in the morning. I'm going to put the extra plate in there that you wanted. I got your grape cut. I just haven't, you know, and I was going to bring it back to you tomorrow evening. But, no, I have not cooked on it yet.
Excellent. With
the changes. So,
nice.
But I'll get those wrapped up for you tomorrow. Matter of fact, fixing to load in the trailer right now.
Excellent, man. Well, brother, I appreciate you coming on tonight. We'll have you back on in a couple more weeks because I want to talk a little bit about the background behind, you know, what made it for you to be able to have the background to be able to build this cooker.
All right.
But, brother, appreciate you coming on tonight, and we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, man. Talk at you later.
All right, man. Take care, Adam.
All
right, bye. Bye-bye. All right, guys, Adam Norman, Southern Bred Smokers, my cousin and dear friend, and look forward to getting some of those out in the marketplace. And I think we got a hit there, guys. They cook well, and they're super, super nice. So until next week, once again, keep the pit lit, and we will talk to you soon.